Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston. Welcome to Insights for Eternity. God bless you all. And today we are looking at Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27. That's Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27, the parable of the 10 miners, where Jesus tells us a bit about what will happen in the end times, and with all that's happening at the moment, it can be very applicable to what's going on. Before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask that you will open our spiritual ears, open our spiritual eyes, help us to perceive your word, put words in my mouth that will bless the hearers. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, it's a long parable. I'm going to read it out, and you can follow me in your Bibles. Grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27. And as they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, and because they supposed the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. He said, therefore, a nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and then return. Calling 10 of his servants, he gave them 10 miners, and said to them, engage in business until I come. So, 10 servants, 10 miners, one miner each. Okay? But his citizens hated him, and sent a delegation after him, saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. When he returned, having received the kingdom, he ordered these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know what they had gained by doing business. The first came before him, saying, Lord, your miner has made 10 miners more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, your miner has made 5 miners. And he said to him, and you are to be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Lord, here is your miner, which I kept laid away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, because you are a severe man. You take what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. He said to him, I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. You knew that I was a severe man, taking what I did not deposit, and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank? And at my coming I might have collected it with interest. And he said to those who stood by, take the miner from him and give it to the one who has the 10 miners. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 miners. I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. But as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slaughter them before me. Okay, so we have a very unpopular king. And how does this relate to Jesus, and how does this relate to the end times? Well, the first bit, he says, Jesus is telling this parable. Why is Jesus telling this parable? Because people supposed that the kingdom of God was to come immediately. So people had a wrong impression, and Jesus is correcting it. So Jesus is correcting their idea that the kingdom of God was just around the corner, and he's saying, no, I'm going away for a while. Jesus is the nobleman, he's the Son of God. He's going away to inherit a kingdom and come back. Obviously, he's going away for a very long while. He's been away for 2,000 years. He's our high priest. He's still available to us, but he's been away for 2,000 years, and the world has got a little bit out of control, don't you think? Well, he is going to come back. And there's four groups of people here. There's the populace, the people, who don't want him to be king, who don't want Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We see that around today. Many of the governments of the world, many people in America, do not want Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. They don't want God to reign over them. They want to appoint their own kings and reign and rule in their own way and have their own will in life. These people are rebellious. They are rebelling against God. They hate God with their minds, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, and they are in rebellion under the sway of the evil one. And so that's the people, that's the populace. Then there are the servants. Now there are 10 servants, but only 3 are mentioned. He says he calls 10 servants and gives them 10 minors. They get 1 minor each. This is different from the parable of the talents. Well, how much is a minor? A minor is quite a bit of money, but it's not huge. It's equivalent to 100 denarii. A denarius was a day's wages. So this is 100 days' wages, a bit over 3 months' wages. So whatever the wages are in your country, here in America, it's about $200. So 100 of those would be $20,000 in America. And that's enough to buy an old car. Not a new car here, by the way. Cars are expensive. So it's about that kind of money, 100 days' wages. So we have a situation here where there are a minor each. Everyone's got this 100 denarius, 1 minor each. There is a possibility it was a gold miner, and if it's a gold miner rather than a silver miner, then it's worth a lot more. But anyway, they're given the same. Each person is given the same chance to prove their worth. And we have 3 groups among those servants. We have the one that turned the 1 minor into 10 miners, 10 times the production. Oh, that's incredible. So this guy's a really good businessman, and he makes 10 times the money. And the next one turns the 1 minor into 5 miners, and he's pretty good too. He got a 500% profit. And then finally, we have the person who just hid it in a handkerchief and buried it in the ground or something like that. He hid it away, and he said, I'll just give him back his money, and that's it. And he had a very negative view of things, and his miner is taken away and given to the person with 10. Why? Because the person with 10 is going to invest it better. So we are dealing with a situation here where there's 3 kinds of servants of God and one group who is the rebellious group. The rebellious group who say, we don't want the king, or the nobleman, that is Jesus, to reign over us, they're slaughtered in the end. Bring them here and slaughter them before me. That will happen in the Battle of Armageddon when people go to war against God and they are slaughtered and the birds of the air devour their flesh, etc., etc. So in the end, the world is going to rebel against God and the end is going to be very, very bad. But the majority of the parable is talking about our faithfulness before God as believers. Are we going to be faithful while Jesus is seemingly absent? We think of the judgment, but some people think, oh, well, that's God, you know, he's a long way away. I'll just get on with my life. And they take their 1 minor or their 1 talent and they bury it, they hide it away. And God calls that wicked. Yes, he does. Look at it here. I will condemn you with your own words, you wicked servant. Verse 22. So he is wicked because he didn't do anything. The master's away for a long time, and he just decided to be lazy and not increase the investment in his life. And we see the same kind of thinking with the 5 foolish virgins who ran out of oil. They were apathetic. They didn't pay any attention to their spiritual life. This person has the deposit. This person has had the 1 minor given to them, and they do nothing with it. Now, God has given you the deposit of salvation. He has given you the Holy Spirit. He expects you to bear fruit for God. What kind of fruit? Love, joy, peace, wisdom, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. All those fruit of the Spirit, he's expecting you to manifest that. As well as that, he's expecting you to do some good deeds. With the fruit of good works, whatever he's called you to. If he's given you a gift of helps, you'll help people. If he's given you a gift of teaching, go out and teach. If he's given you a gift of service, go out and serve. Administration, do the same, and so on and so forth. So go and use the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God's given to you, and don't let them rot. Don't let the calling of God on your life go away to nothing. ask yourself, have you got a calling on your life? You may be able to go out on the internet and do a spiritual gifts test. That's a spiritual gifts test. And have a look around. There's quite a few free ones on the internet. And you might be able to identify the spiritual gifts that you have and then go ahead and serve God. But don't be apathetic. Don't sit around and do nothing. Okay, let's look at the rest. There's the 10 miners and the 5. Now, these people were faithful according to their ability. And so God is obviously most pleased with the person who gets the most return, who's given the most reward because they have done best. And God looks at our spiritual lives, and the angels write our life in a book, and we're written in the book of life, and every born-again Bible-believing Christian is written in the book of life. We know that. We know we're given life through salvation. He who has the Son has life. Who does not have the Son does not have life. If we have eternal life, we're written in the book of life as those who have Jesus. But there's more to it. We know in 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 15 that the works that we've done, the way we've built on the gospel, the way we've ministered, is brought to the bema seat of Christ, that our works are judged for what we've done in the body, either good or evil. And how are we judged? Because the judgment is not by the angels. The angels have taken it by Jesus. The angels are constantly observing us. God knows the very hairs on our head are numbered. His angels are like bureaucrats. They're taking down every detail of our lives. And so everything we do is recorded. And some people lead very profitable lives. The founder of YWAM, Lauren Cunningham, passed away this week. A great man of God. And many great men of God have gone to glory over the last few years. And we see a whole generation of leadership going to glory and getting their wonderful eternal reward. And these men and women have contributed great things to the cause of God. They are the 10 minor, 10 talent servants who have gone out and done a wonderful work for God. And God is very pleased because he gave them this, he gave them that, and they went out and they got a huge reward for it. So God gave them parents that raised them in the fear of the Lord, or sat to the Bible college, gave them great lecturers, and so on, and put a deposit into their life. And they took what God had put into their lives, and they ran with it. They ran with what God had done, and they got a great reward, and they're entering into glory to the applause of the saints and to the joy of the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, the one with the 5 miners does quite well as well, and he gets 5 cities. Not as talented, didn't quite manage to do as much, but still there's a reward and there's authority. Now, look at what God says to these people. He says, because you have been faithful in a very little, you shall also have authority over 10 cities. So here, having authority over very little, well, a minor is not very little. It's 100 days' wages, about $20,000, whatever equivalent it is in your country where you're listening to this. It's a lot of money. It's not very little. But to the Lord, to Jesus, the 100 days' wages was just nothing. It was just a minor. Minor is M-I-N-A in this case. It was just a chunk of change that he gave to test these people with. And the responsibilities we have in this life, with me as the CEO of Cyber Missions, the ministry the Lord has entrusted to me and to this broadcast, Insights for Eternity, A Voice of Hope, the radio station that broadcasts for it, we all have responsibilities before God. And as we carry out those responsibilities, then the Lord is pleased with us or not pleased with us. So God has given a ministry into our hands, and it's very little in his sight. Even the biggest ministry in the world is very little in God's sight, because God runs the universe. He said, oh, you've been faithful in little. You've been faithful in that ministry I gave you in that church in Uganda or Kenya or Nigeria or wherever you're hearing this broadcast, because you've been faithful in little, because you've done well in Zambia or Australia or wherever, then God will set you over 10 cities, which is very disproportionate. It's a big reward for a little bit of faithfulness. They were just doing what they should have done. They worked as unto the Lord. They were profitable servants, and all turned out well. So, we see here that God rewards us greatly just for ordinary, everyday faithfulness. And this isn't just in ministry. It's not just going around evangelizing or running a church. There are many people whose love for their neighbor is such that God notices. We have Dorcas in the New Testament, and she was very good with her hands, and she made all sorts of clothes for the widows and orphans in her area. And she was a person who had a great gift of helps and crafts and arts, and she was a blessing to many. And she was noted so that Peter was called when she died, and he raised her from the dead. Her other name was Tabitha. So he is someone that's precious to the saints, who wasn't a pastor, who wasn't a teacher, who wasn't an apostle or an evangelist, but just was very, very faithful to the Lord. And so if you're faithful, if you're caring for disabled children, if you're running an orphanage, if you're doing things for the poor and needy, God notices. He notices the sacrifices you make for the Lord, and he will reward you on that day. But what about the person who doesn't do anything? The Christian who says, well, I couldn't be bothered. I'm not going to do anything for the widows and the orphans. I'm not going to share the gospel. I'm not going to help the church. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to go out and do anything. I'm just going to live my own life as if I was not a Christian. This is where the one minor person who buries it in the ground and brings back nothing to the master. This is the person who is just like the rebels, but isn't quite a rebel. This person hasn't joined in the rebellion against the master, but he has many of the same attitudes as the rebels. And he has decided to be one foot in the world and one foot in God and not do anything for God. And so that's where he or she is in their spiritual walk. They're do-nothing people. And there's a lot of do-nothing people who never help out at church, who never get going, who never get on fire for God, who don't read their Bible, who don't pray, who don't care, who don't weep over the lost, who never share the gospel. These do-nothing people are almost equivalent to the rebels that we know about in this parable, the rebels who are taken out and slaughtered. Now, it doesn't say that the person with the one minor is taken out and slaughtered. It's what he has, though, is taken away. And the reward he would have got is taken away and given to the person with the 10 minors, and he has placed over zero cities. He's seen as a wicked, lazy servant. Now, you don't want to be a wicked, lazy servant before the Lord. So if you're listening to this and your Christian life is in the doldrums, if you're not doing anything, if you're a do-nothing Christian, it's time to repent. It's time to get right before the Lord. It's time to say, sorry, Lord, I know I'm saved, but I've done nothing with my Christian life. I need to turn around. I'm ashamed of my lack of Christian activity. And you need to turn around and set God before your face. Remember that there is going to be a judgment day. There's going to be a day when you're going to give account of your life before the bema seat of Jesus Christ. And you will receive a reward or no reward. And 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 15, it says that those who build with gold, silver, and precious stones receive a great reward in the heaven. But those who build with wood, hay, and stubble, those who do nothing, those who are lazy, those who are insignificant in the work they do, they just couldn't be bothered, they're apathetic, I think is the word, they only get some sticks and stick them together and think, here, I've done the work of the gospel. No, they haven't. These people, all their works are burned up, they're taken away from them, but they themselves will enter into the kingdom of God, but as through fire. They have no reward, they have nothing they're carrying into the kingdom of God, they're having nothing in heaven, they simply have very, very little in the way of reward. And remember, you're going to be in eternity for a very, very long time. And so you want to have a glorious reward from the Lord when you enter into eternity, when your reward for what you've done on this earth is put before you. And so that reward will be yours. You will have the fullness of eternal life. You'll have a resurrection body, and you will have some authority, some measure of spiritual authority, according to your faithfulness before God. Now, let's think about this issue of spiritual authority. You want to be able to cast out demons. You want to be able to heal the sick. You want to be able to speak the word of God with conviction. The way to spiritual authority is through faithfulness. Here we find the person given the most authority was very faithful and fruitful. And so God looks at this person with the 10 minors, who's made 10 times as much, and says, look, you've got more. I'm giving more to you. You're going to have a lot of authority in the kingdom of God. It's in here in verse 25 and 26. And they said to him, Lord, he has 10 minors. I tell you that everyone who has more will be given, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So if you want spiritual authority, if you want more spiritual authority, you have to be faithful, you have to be diligent, you have to get on with what God's already given you to do, and then he will increase your authority and increase your authority in the kingdom. So we need to get out of the mentality of being the one talent, one minor person who is resentful towards God, and instead not hide our gifts away, but get out and be as faithful as we can be and receive our 5 cities or 10 cities according to the reward that the Lord has given us. So if you want spiritual authority, if you want reward in heaven, the key is faithfulness. Well, let's go back to verses 11. As they heard these things, he proceeded to tell a parable, because he was near to Jerusalem, but because they supposed that the kingdom of God was to appear immediately. Now, Jesus is in heaven as the high priest. The kingdom of God will come. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. Satan will be defeated and cast out. But in between now and then, there's a lot of things that have to happen. And we need the patient endurance of the saints. You don't want to live life as if Jesus is going to return next Thursday, though some preachers seem to make that a priority. What God is telling us and what Jesus is telling us is get on with being faithful. Get on with doing what God has told you to do. And what has God told you to do? He's told you to love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and strength. He's told you to love your neighbor as yourself. He's told you to obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. Is also told you to obey the one another commands in the New Testament. Love one another, encourage one another, be hospitable to one another, and so on and so forth. So there's plenty of things that the Bible is telling you to do. Do those according to your ability, according to your strength. Be faithful unto the Lord and to all the work that he's committed into your hands over the years. Old orders are good orders. So if God has told you to be an evangelist, don't sit down and say, well, I'm tired of it now. I did it for a little while, and now I'm tired of it. I'll just sit down and put my minor in a handkerchief and forget about it. No. If God's told you to be an evangelist, get up and evangelize. If God's told you to be a pastor, go out and start pastoring. If God's told you to be a prayer warrior, get out your prayer list and start praying for people. And I would appreciate your prayers. For Insights for Eternity, this broadcast, for the radio station that carries it, Voice of Hope, and for my main ministry, Cyber Missions, which is at cybermissions.org. Please pray for me and for my wife, Minda, that we will be covered with the blood of the Lamb, that we will be able to be strong and in the Lord. We'll be in good health even as we're getting a little older. We'll still have energy, strength, and anointing from the Lord. So we would appreciate your prayers. So you can also go on eternityradio.org, which is the website for this program. We don't mention it much, eternityradio.org, and find many of the programs there. But please do pray for us if you're an intercessor. Whatever God has called you to be faithful in, be faithful. So summing up now, what's Jesus saying here? He's saying there's 4 kinds of people with regard to the coming of the kingdom of God. There's those who are great multipliers, who get 10 times as much. There's those who are moderate multipliers, who make 5 times as much. There's those who are lazy and wicked, who just keep things as they are, keep the status quo, don't do much, and they are called lazy, wicked servants, and they lose everything they've got, but they still enter into heaven. And lastly, there are the rebels, those who do not want God to reign over them, who join the Antichrist in the last days, who take the mark of the beast, and who roll up to Armageddon to fight against God, and they are slaughtered before the Lord. So which group are you going to be in? If you're a rebel, if you're saying, no, I'm not going to have God rule over me, I'm going to do what I want, when I want, how I want, and I'm not going to believe in Jesus or anything like that. If you're a rebel, you need to repent. You need to get on the right side. You need to stop rebelling against God, and you need to get born again. And once you're born again, you don't just want to be sitting in the pews of a church. You want to go out there and do great things for God. God is calling you out of darkness into his light. So if you're rebelling against God, if you're womanizing, if you're drinking, if you're doing drugs, if you're violent, if you're in a gang, if you're cynical and despairing, and you don't want God anywhere near your life for this reason or that, it's time to turn around. It's time right now to make sure that you're not among those who are rebelling against mighty God, because Satan is getting himself an army ready. He's getting millions and millions of people to hate God. He's telling lies. He's deceiving the nations right now. Do not be one of those who are deceived by the devil, led to the battle of Armageddon, given the mark of the beast, and destroyed when Jesus returns to judge the heavens and the earth and the living and the dead. Do not be the ones who are frightened and running away and casting their idols into a cave, saying the wrath of the Lamb has come. Do not rebel against God. Turn to God now and say, save me from my sins. Save me from my rebellion. Save me from all the things that I have done. Forgive my sins and turn me into a Christian. Turn me into someone who loves God, is full of the Holy Ghost, and is prepared to receive salvation. So, if you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you want to be among those who receive a reward from God, pray with me now. Merciful Father in heaven, have mercy on me, a sinner. Make me into a Christian. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Forgive my sins and give me eternal life. Merciful Father, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Forgive my sins, put the Holy Spirit in my heart and my mind. Make me into a Christian and help me to be your son or daughter, having an eternal reward. Turn to God now, reach out to him and get saved. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.